God's grace, His mercy, His salvation be with you today. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to continue with you this morning our sermon series on the Christian family. And so far we've talked about the Christian family in general. We've talked about the Christian man. And this week I'd like to talk with you about the Christian woman. What is a woman supposed to be like according to God? A godly woman. What are her qualities and characteristics? And what's the ideal woman that all women should be shooting, ideal woman that all women should be shooting for? So today, I'd like to talk with you about the Christian woman. And first, let's talk about the importance of this subject. Why would we want to talk about the ideal for women? Well, a couple of reasons here. Number one, a woman, if she's going to be fulfilled, needs to live her life in accordance with the design that God has for her. If she doesn't know what that is, then she's going to be left roaming about in the dark, clueless, confused by our culture, and generally live a pretty miserable life. But if she can know God's design and aim at it with God's help, how happy she'll be. So there's one reason. Another reason is that a woman has a powerful influence on all around her. Amen, men? let me tell you the story. When I was sailing up in Maine of Swan's Island. Now, this was an island off the coast of Maine where the men of old were reputed to be the worst of all. They were drunks. They were vile. They were mean-spirited. They were akin to pirates, basically. And none of the windjammers I sailed ever wanted to go in there in the olden days because the men were so mean. It harassed them. Well, it got so bad that one day, when all the men were out lobstering from the island, all the women got together and had an island meeting. And when the men came home that night off the sea, every one of them to the last man received an ultimatum from his wife, saying, either you clean up your act, get rid of the alcohol, and get religion, or every woman on this island is leaving together. Well, to this day, and I've sailed there and I've seen it with my own eyes, the only place in Maine I've seen this, all the lobster boats are called things like Bread of Life, Prince of Peace, Wings of the Morning, from Psalm 139, all Bible names, and the men are extremely kind. It reminds me of that movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Remember that? And the Greek mother is trying to describe Greek culture, and she says, in our culture, the man is the head of the wife, but the woman, she is the neck, and she turns the head wherever she wills. The power of a woman and the influence on those around her, on her husband, on her children, on all those whom she's in contact with. That's why it says in Proverbs 31 in the Bible, a good or an excellent wife, who can find? She's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he'll have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. So a woman is designed to be a blessing, but she can also be a curse. Proverbs 19 says, a wife's quarreling is like a continual dripping of rain. Drip, drip, drip. Proverbs 21 says, it's better to live in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. So a woman can be a blessing or a curse, a powerful influence. And do you know how powerfully they influenced Jesus and helped him and blessed him in his ministry? We've read in Luke 8 that after afterwards he went through cities and villages preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, many other women who provided for them out of their means. Did you know that? That Jesus' earthly ministry was mostly supported by women. A great, powerful influence in that and every other kind of way. So, single or married, you're a powerful influence. Another reason that we want to talk about this today is because our culture is by and large totally confused about what a woman is supposed to be like. You got 1,000 messages. Let me give you a couple here. Number one, in many parts of the world, such as Arab countries and Indonesia and India, and India sometimes and other places, women are looked on as less than men, of lesser value. In Sharia law, for example, in the Islam faith, in court, it takes two women to equal one man's testimony. In other words, woman is equal to one half of a man. Both past and present, women in a lot of parts of the world are oppressed and abused and mistreated and devalued. Another view comes more traditionally from our culture, influenced by Christian principles, that women are to be honored, especially honored. Remember those good old days where a woman enters the room and all the men are sitting and they all immediately stand up out of respect for her and offer her their seat? Used to be that men removed their hats in the presence of a woman, cleaned up their language, and opened doors for women. And if you'd go on a date, the man would invariably treat the girl or the woman. The ideal woman in those days was seen as virtuous. She was a wife, a mother, a nurturer of her husband and children, a doer of good, a strong woman. That's kind of more along the lines of chivalry and those things. But then feminism came along, reacted to this in the 1960s against what they thought was a male-dominated society that suppressed and crushed women, enslaved them. And in fact, they did fight for a lot of good things. Women's liberation fought for things like equal pay for equal work, non-discrimination in hiring, a lot of good things. But also, they messed up a lot of things. They believe women need to be liberated from the image of the kind, feminine woman, sweet, entering the workforce. They were to take on what was traditionally more, what would be associated with male qualities of competitiveness, aggressiveness, fighting, domineering. And if you were to be nurturing, caring, and submissive in those cases, you'd be considered weak, a frail person. And that was rejected. The goal is to be liberated from the home, liberated from traditional marriage, liberated from raising children, and to find your value rather in a profession in the working world. And today, many women who are full-time mothers, and I've heard this so many times, when they're asked what they do, they say, "I'm just a full-time mom." Notice that? I'm just a full-time mom. In other words, I'm not also a CEO, and they're ashamed of that. Forgetting, of course, that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, raising the next generation. And as Gloria Steinem, remember the great feminist, once said, she said, "We've finally become the men we always wanted to marry." And besides all this, we got one more view I'll throw out at you today. I got this last night, and to my great embarrassment at Publix, this is the only thing I bought. Women's health, right? Felt so weird buying this. Women's health, easy abs diet, shrink your belly, shape up shortcuts, melt fat, tone muscle faster, amazing skin, trim bod, killer confidence, let's see, sculpt a butt that defies gravity, wow. Flip this issue for a beauty bonus. I tried to pick a cover with at least she was wearing some clothes. It's kind of hard, but I picked this one out. But this is the ideal woman that's put out there so much in our society. She's got to be young, cute, sexy, wild, and free. And I'll tell you, this image has destroyed more women with their self-esteem because every year they get thinner and thinner. Nobody can live up to these computerized, worked-over images. And teenage girls, a lot of times, hate their own bodies because they can't be just so perfect as this. Is this what God has for the ideal woman? I dare say no. So, we're living in a pretty confused society. Lest I be distracted, I'll put that over there. Nobody knows what a woman is supposed to be anymore. The men don't know, the women don't know. Modern woman wants to be a nurturer, but not soft. A wife, but not yielding or following her husband. A mother, but certainly not bound to raising children. Honored, but don't you dare open that door for me, you chauvinist pig. And the man is left going, do I open the door for her or not? Do I pick up the tab or will that offend her? If my wife is aggressive and domineering in our marriage, do I stand up and fight or do I be submissive? And when he is submissive and backs off, she gets frustrated because he's not being a man and everything's a big mess. So let's just clear the deck, start over, listen to God's word on this. For God made women, he designed women, and he knows what he's talking about. He's talking about women. So at least one of us does know. So let's start out. What's God's view of women? What's a woman supposed to be like? And what's her value in the eyes of God? Let's start out with that one. How about value? We read in the beginning in Genesis, in the beginning God created, you know, the heavens and the earth. God said, let's make man in our own image, after our own likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, etc. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, him, male and female, he created them. What does this tell us? Male and female are created in the image of God. Therefore, they are of equal value in the eyes of God. Amen? Women, therefore, are worthy of our honor and all honor. That's why Paul says in Galatians, in Christ, now that we're redeemed by faith in Jesus, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Equal, co-heirs. He says if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. We're co-heirs, co-redeemed, co-workers for Christ. Equal in God's eyes, cherished, equally cherished by God. And that's a beautiful thing. So if any man here or around the world wants to mistreat or dishonor a woman, he has God himself to contend with for that. So beware and give women their due honor, O men. That's why Peter says, likewise, you husbands, live considerately with your wives, bestowing honor on the woman as the weaker sex, since you are joint heirs of the grace of life, in order that your prayers may not be hindered. So you're joint heirs. You're co-equal, praise God, but you're nevertheless different, right? That should go without saying that men and women are different, but because we've all been put in the gender blender of our culture that's trying to eradicate all differences between men and women, men are thinking they should be like women, women think they should be like men, we're all messed up. Yet God says, remember, male and female, he created them. Different and different by design, each beautiful for their purposes. So, contrary to what popular culture teaches, when God said, be fruitful and multiply, he didn't mean that a man and a man should be the head of the family, and a woman should run a family, but rather, man and woman have to come together to be fruitful and multiply, right? It's never been any different. It's not Adam and Steve, but it was Adam and Eve. And the woman has a very special design in God's family, his plan for the fulfillment of human beings. The Lord God said, it's not good that a man should be alone. I'll make a helper fit for him. So God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of the ribs, closed up its flesh, placed with flesh on the rib, which the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman, and brought her to the man, who says, this is at last as bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. So what is she here? The scriptures, God, the Holy Spirit, describes her originally as a helper. That word in the Hebrew is ezer, which means, and I looked this up, it means helper, okay? One who helps. I'd like to share a personal story, a little insight into my life. Beth is my helper. She's my encourager. She studies me. She knows me. She is acquainted with my strengths and my weaknesses. She knows, is acquainted with all my ways. Women, do you know your husbands? Can you encourage them? I'll tell you a little insight into my week. Every week, I wrestle with a sermon, okay? And I have my weaknesses and my triumphs. And usually, around Thursday, I reach the crisis point, or sometimes Saturday night, when I call her on the phone and say desperately, Beth, I just can't seem to get it. I don't know what to say. It's no good. And then her voice on the other end of the line says, "This has been a recording." In other words, we go through this every week. And then she says something like, "Greg, don't worry. God has never forsaken you. He's going to be with you this time. I'm going to get off the phone and pray fervently right now. And in 10 minutes, you're going to have a burst of insight." You know what happens? She gets off the phone after these words of inspiration. She prays fervently, and I get a burst of insight, usually in 10 minutes. I'm serious. It happens every week. This is what it means to have a helper, a comforter, an encourager in my life. I couldn't do my job without her. And I told her earlier this week, I'm preaching on a godly woman this week, and that should be easy. All I have to do is talk about you. And I mean that. And she liked that. But secondly, we read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living." So another thing that God designed women for, obviously, is to be mothers, helper and encourager of her man, and a mother of children. And while Beth encourages me, she also takes care of Naomi. And how many times in my earlier, in Naomi's toddler years and whatever, I'd take her out for walks, and I'd get back only to hear Beth say, "Where's her coat? It's cold outside." And I'd say, "I don't know. I never thought about it." See, she has these eyes to pick up on the details of what her child needs. If Naomi would scrape her knee, she'd run to mommy. She knew it was not daddy that had the instincts of super compassion, although men are compassionate as well, for sure. But women seem especially equipped to do this. We don't see details. No. That's right. We don't see details a lot of times. For example, Beth might have gotten a haircut, and then she'd say something along the lines of, "You didn't say anything about it. Didn't you like it?" And I said, "You got a haircut? Oh, I'm sorry. Of course you got a haircut. I'm sorry. I just don't see in close. I can't see details. Forgive me." Isn't that true, women, that men often don't pick up on the details of things? That's because you have a special design, a beautiful design for special gifts and different jobs that God has given you to make harmony in the home amongst all of us. And if you're a single woman, a Christian woman, or a widowed woman, you're also a helper, and you're an encourager to those around you, to build up your friends, to be a blessing to your church, and have a fulfilled life in Christ that way. But you know what? What I've said so far about being a mother and a helper of the husband really smacks of weakness in the eyes of a lot of feminists today. I mean, they would hate pretty much what I'm saying here. They have many good points, the feminists do. They've done some good. But I believe that they're really out to destroy women's lives unknowingly. I read this article in 2010 that 40% of women with professional degrees today have no children. And for whatever reasons, but 14% of them wanted no children. That means that 33% of women that have professional careers wanted children, but actually never had them, because they were to find their value in a professional career. And that's what the world teaches. And women can have a professional career. They can work outside the home. That's it. There's numerous places in the Bible I could point to, including Proverbs 31, where the woman buys a vineyard and goes out and plants it, and she's out there dealing in merchandise and stuff in the world. And that's fine, but if she also wants to do that at the expense of, in the sacrifice of marriage and family, and she puts those other things first, a lot of women are very lost, and they never know the joys of motherhood these days, because they've bought into the lie that a woman's worth is in her career, and not in these designs that we see here in Genesis. Now, when those who have mothers who have children, a lot of them, little Johnny or Susie skins his knee, and there's nowhere mommy for the child to run to, but often to a daycare worker, which I understand at times is necessary. But nevertheless, who are the big losers here? Children, the men often no longer feel like men, and the women sometimes lose. So pursue a career, but be first concerned with being a godly woman in everything, and hopefully also in the designs of Genesis here. So what are the qualities of a godly woman? All right. What, as God designed and speaks of her? Let's take a look. Is a woman weak? Are these qualities weak that I've described so far? That she should be a helper of her husband, or submissive to her husband, or an encourager of her husband, and a servant of her husband and children? Are these things all enslavement? Are they all frailty and weakness? Well, let's take a look here. Proverbs 31. What's God say? He says, a good wife who can find. She's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he'll have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. A good wife. You know what that word is in the Hebrew? Chayil, which means excellent. Actually, what it really means is valor. It's used of a mighty man of valor in war. That's the kind of wife you're looking for. A strong woman. That's what it is to be a strong woman in God's eyes. All these things that are described in the Bible take strength. They take power. They take inner beauty. A lot of times today, women are wrapped up in this whole image here of outer beauty. And of course, you have the temptations to that. That's why Peter says in his letter, let not yours be the outward adorning with braiding of hair and decoration of gold and wearing of fine clothing, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable jewel of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Women, can you make that your duty, or not your duty, but your aim today, seeking an inner beauty? Because you know what? I'll tell you, God doesn't look on people as man sees them. He looks on the heart. He doesn't see as we see. He looks inside. And if you want to see beauty in a woman, and if you're after beauty, God says, seek the beauty of character. Not just, and I love this one on here on this thing. It talks about, sick of being tired, tap into your secret energy source. Women are not only about outer beauty these days, but personality, a dazzling, charming person. But what God says is seek inner beauty, not personality, but character. Character and strength. For charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she's to be praised. So what I'm telling is the qualities God wants in you are strength. It says in Proverbs 31, strength and dignity are her clothing. She knows that her arms are strong for her work. This is not a frail woman. This is not an enslaved woman. She tends to her home, but she's not bound or enslaved to her home. She's free to go out if she wishes and pursue a career, provided her home is well taken care of. And what are some of the qualities here? Titus 2, Paul says, bid the older women likewise to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to drink. They're to teach what is good. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be sensible, chaste, domestic, kind, and submissive to their husbands, that the word of God may not be discredited. So are you any grandmothers out there today? Any mothers who have children that are growing up, then what you're to do is to train your younger women in these things. You have a job today. And what are these things? To love your husband and children. You know, love binds all things together in perfect harmony. It's the woman who can bring harmony into people's lives. Sensible means you're not ruled by your emotions, but being of a sound mind and self-controlled. Our culture stinks at this. We think that everything has to be, how do you feel? Let your emotions and your heart rule you. God says a strong woman and a beautiful woman, in my eyes, is not ruled by those, but she is self-controlled. She's wise in the way she deals with things. She's chaste. She's sexually pure. She's modest. She doesn't flaunt her body around and accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. And men latch on to the affirmative. She's domestic. That word means she takes care of the household, tends the home. Kind, pleasant, agreeable, joyful, happy, submissive to her husband. That's one we have a real problem with, doesn't it? Aren't we? The word there is hupotasso, which literally means to place yourself under to submit or to obey your husband. It's a Greek military term that means to arrange your troops in a military fashion under the command of a leader, namely, in this case, your husband. Now, is that weak? Is that frail? Is that cowardly, as the feminists would have it? Don't you dare do such a thing. I am woman, hear me roar, right? It doesn't take any strength to say, I am woman, hear me roar. Any selfish little toddler can say that. But I'll tell you, it takes true strength and character of heart in order to submit. For that's what men are called to do in submitting to Christ. That's why I commanded you men in the last sermon. That's why God commanded you in my last sermon to bend down on your knees and wash the feet of your woman. I washed Beth's and Naomi's feet yesterday. It was a beautiful thing. This is what it is to be a leader, to be a man. This is what it is to be a woman, to also be a humble servant. That's what's strong and beautiful in God's kingdom. And in all these things, we're imitating Jesus Christ. You know what, women? You are made in the image of God. His righteousness, originally. We lost all that. We've all sinned. Christ comes to restore us, to forgive us, to wash us, to give us a new start, to help you become better women after the image of God. And then what are you doing when you're being a strong woman? When you're submitting, when you're being chaste, when you're being pure, when you're being sensible, when you're being strong, when you're loving, you are being like Jesus Christ. His image. That's what you're after. For we remember for our salvation that Jesus Christ, though he was in the form of God, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Just like a woman, though she is equal to her man, she doesn't count it as something to be grasped, but she, like Christ, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And he did all that out of love for your salvation, for our salvation, to wash you, to forgive you, to love you, and then to help you to become godly people after a woman after his own heart, a man after his own heart. So, as we conclude today, we got women here once again. That's the woman that you're contending with for the most part, most of you. You know what you should do with this? Forget it. This woman is going to lose her beauty. She's never going to be able to keep it. Just like a flower, all flesh is like grass. And ultimately, this woman, who's been computerized to look that good anyway, is going to need Botox. She's going to need a facelift. And ultimately, one day when she's in a nursing home, she's not going to be on the cover of Women's Health. But I'll tell you what, if you read this book and you make this your ideal woman, what God describes in here in the Bible, you'll have an inner beauty that never fades, a flower that grows more glorious day by day as you worship Jesus, as you sit at his feet as Mary did and listen to his word and adore him. You're going to be changed from one degree of glory unto another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So make that your aim. And here's my challenge to you this week. If you are single, find someone you're near, or if you're married, do this for your husband. Tell him the things you admire about him and you respect him for, and encourage him this week. And I will now conclude with Proverbs 31. Speaking of the godly woman, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Amen.